Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, helping you to find God's calling for your career and to land a fulfilling, well-paid, and impactful position. Join me each week for practical guidance, career motivation, and biblical insight based on Christian values. Hey friends, welcome back. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how to take practical steps to figure out what you want to do for a career, to clarify that focus so that you can go after it and you can feel a little bit more comfortable and more confident when those speed bumps come along the way. So if you're someone like me who sometimes prays about an answer and you just want to open the Bible and see this beam of light coming through, newsflash, most of the time, probably all the time, that tends not to happen. And so instead, we're going to take action because in action comes clarity. In progress comes clarity. In taking that idea or that thought or that nudge outside of you and putting it where you can objectify it, you can look at it a little bit more, you can get some more clarity, and then you know what to take to God, what to pray about. There's going to be three steps that we're going to talk about, and these are the three steps that when I taught class, this is what we focused on. When I work with clients, this is what we focus on, and it sounds simple. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to sound really simple, but taking time to go deep into each of these areas makes all the difference in the world. Okay, so the first step is to reflect on your past experience, and I don't just mean like work. When you tell me, hey, reflect on your past experience, I think, okay, sure, I had this position, and before that I had this position, and before that I had this position, and I only list work positions. I don't list any other experiences. The other mistake that I've made in the past that I'm helping you to avoid by learning from my mistakes is to make sure and not stop at the position that is most valued. So for example, like when I look back at my experiences, I might say, okay, well, at my current position, here's what I do. My prior position, here's what I do. My prior, here's what I do. But the next one, maybe the fourth or fifth or sixth position down, I might be like, yeah, but that one didn't really count. And then I don't really pull information from that position. But the reality is that every experience, whether it's your current work position or maybe it's experience you had as a child or as a teenager, and every opportunity, whether it's paid or unpaid, work or a personal experience, they all give you clues about who you are and what you really enjoy doing. And that's what we're trying to get here. We're trying to figure out what lights us up. And we're going to start seeing patterns, but only if we see the whole picture. A lot of times, if you look at puzzle pieces, you can't pick up one puzzle piece or half of the puzzle pieces and really see the big picture. So you can't see the pattern. You need the big picture, which is taking a look at work and volunteer, current and past experiences, and even childhood experiences. Because a lot of times when we're children, we gravitate towards what naturally interests us. But then when we grow up, this thing happens that we gravitate towards what society wants us to go to. And so instead of grabbing, you know, our attention span and going towards something that we really enjoy, we're actually navigating and gravitating towards the things that make us who we believe other people want to see us as. And so I might go and seek out a position that I really don't enjoy, but I sought it out because the ambition is what got me to seek out that position. This, like, you know, in the Bible, we might call it a selfish ambition. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it also talks about, you know, most of our ambition is a result of competition, is a result of seeing where someone else is. And then based off of where someone else is, that's how we decide where we want to be. And so in this first step, when you're reflecting on past experiences, I want you to look at the whole picture and also pay attention to those experiences that you had that you really enjoyed when you were younger, before all of us, not just you, but all of us, before all of us really got this idea of what it means to be successful. So before you had that idea of what it means to be successful, what did you gravitate towards? What did you naturally love to do? Okay, so you're going to reflect on those past experiences and remember that there is no right or wrong answer here. So just consider every possibility, jot it all down. And then take a step back and look at the tapestry. Look at this like huge, big picture work of art and say, okay, this is my life. What are the activities that really lit me up? And you want to start circling them and, you know, just reflecting on everything and try to figure out your patterns. Do you really kind of light up when you're around people and in what circumstances. Maybe you're helping people, or maybe you're not helping people. Maybe you're leading people and that's the way that you help people. Maybe you are someone who really likes debate. Maybe you're like, I'm not helping people in any of those circumstances where I light up. I'm actually debating people. And that is a great skill to have. It's critical thinking, it's conflict management, it's negotiation, it's resolution. I mean, there's so many different aspects that are a part of that debate process. But regardless what it is that you find as you look at and reflect on your past experiences, you're just searching for patterns of who you are, what makes you tick, and then just start to write down those patterns and generalizations. The second thing to look at is identifying your needs and your wants and then separating the two. For your needs, write down things like, what do you need financially? What do you need in terms of a geographic location? Do you have to have remote work? Is that non-negotiable? Or is it a nice to have? So write down what your needs are, what you must have, or you will not take the position. And then on a separate list, write down all your wants, your desires. This is your wish list. Your needs are requirements where you will not consider a job unless it meets these criteria. Now, I know that many positions won't list the salary. I know some states it's a requirement to list a salary, but in most states it is not a requirement. You can get an idea by looking at the position and researching the salary, and we'll talk about that in a different episode, but it is pretty common actually for you to go through the process not knowing what the salary is and then pull out of the process if the salary is not going to meet your needs. And so as someone who is being as selective as the hiring companies in the process, you need to be prepared to pull out of a process. And I know a lot of times we might feel guilty, like, oh, I wasted their time. And you know what? Guess what? If they didn't hire you, your time wasn't well spent either, right? It's a good experience. But at the end of the day, you went through this process, and not only you, multiple people went through this process, and you have no position at the end of it. So this is a business transaction, and both you and the company are looking out for their best interests. And the goal is to find a match where you and the company have mutual interests in mind. So don't feel bad going through the entire process. If that company is very concerned about having someone pull out of the process, then they have it in their control to show their salary. So just to say, I went off on a little rant, but just to say that you want to write down your needs and be just as a stickler for what you need as the company is for what they need. Okay, so you've got your needs down and then jot down your wants. Your wants are all of your nice to haves. This can be something like benefits. It can be, you know, environment. It could be culture. You want to just jot down what you want your day to look like. If you want to be at the office, at your desk all day, have a couple of meetings, then keep that in mind. If you want to be out in the field, driving to different locations, meeting with different people, you know, having a variety of tasks throughout your day, then you want to keep that in mind. So whatever it is that you want and need out of this position, it can be setting related, it could be related to the types of people you work with, the types of tasks or technology that you interact with on a day-to-day. It could also mean the, you know, the system for evaluation and promotions. So for example, some positions in education are tenured versus others are not. You can take a look at other factors like whether or not this position is going to provide you with a strategy in order to get a position you want in the future. Or does it provide you a certain set of skills in order to open a business that you're interested in the future? So jot down your list. It can be as big or as small as you'd like. This is really up to you and how you want to develop your career process. Remember that your needs list is not negotiable and your wants list is negotiable. In order to continue the work, I need your help. A free, fast, and really easy way to support me and the Uncommon Career Podcast is to rate and review. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can even do it now while you're listening. You ready? Okay, grab your phone and head to the Uncommon Career Podcast show page. You're going to scroll down, and below the list of episodes, you just tap the 5-star rating. If you have just one more minute, then please also tap write a review and let me and others know which episode or topic impacted you the most. It means the world to me to hear from you, and it also helps others to see that this work is making an impact. Rate and review today and help us move the message forward. And then in the third step, consider what your natural interests are. I know we talked about these in your past experiences, but we're going to go even further. In the first step, when we reflected on our past experiences, we talked about your prior experience and what out of that lit you up, right? So my past positions, projects, volunteer opportunities, what I did when I was a kid, all that kind of stuff. But in the third step, we're really honing in, not just on what you did in that particular memory or at that time in your life, but we're looking at both big picture interests like faith, technology, art. But also, we want to pay even closer attention to task and project-oriented interests. Like, do you enjoy talking with people? Solving short-term problems or maybe long-term problems. For example, how quickly do you want to see a reward? I remember when I was going through my master's program, I had to decide between counseling therapy and higher education counseling. And at first, the idea of counseling therapy sounded really cool to me. Like, I just wanted to be a therapist and have that MFT, you know, in front or behind my name, however it goes. But then I started looking in and talking to people and getting some ideas. And what I realized is I'm the type of person that I enjoy being able to go home knowing the impact that I made in that same day. And higher education counseling allowed me to do that. It allowed me to have a student come into my office and tell me what they were struggling with on that day, very practically. And we would work on their study skills. We would work on some mindset work. We would work on, you know, some bad habits that they had in terms of their study habits and how do we fix that? Or I would help them figure out their transfer route, whatever the case might be. The point is that within 29, 30 minutes, I always felt like I knew exactly what I had helped that student with. And that student walked away knowing that they were in a better place than they were 30 minutes ago. And I really thrived off that short-term success. And so for you, what does that look like? So again, look at your big picture interests. These are your big buckets, business, technology, you know, whatever the case might be, art. Maybe you really enjoy marketing, like as a field. But again, also look at those tasks that you'll be doing. And you're going to pull from the past experiences, right? And you're probably going to have more items that you didn't think about when you reflected on your past experience, or items that you're like, I just have an interest in this. I don't have a specific experience where I learned about this, but I just genuinely want to, you know, be involved in this type of big picture or task-oriented experience. Some ways that you can think about this is to ask yourself, when do I get so focused that I lose track of time? Or what accomplishments am I the most proud of and why? Or what activities would I want to volunteer for? What would I do even if I don't get paid for it? You can even ask yourself, what would I do if money were no object? If I could do anything, what would I do? And one of the things I encourage you to consider is the fact that everything sounds better in theory than it does in practice. So if you think filmmaking or film editing might be really interesting and it sounds so cool, I want you to grab a, you know, like a software subscription where you get 30 days free or whatever, and grab the one that professionals use. So I think for video editing, it might be like Final Cut Pro or like some other professional program. And I want you to start playing with it until you understand how the system works, and then identify whether or not this is something you would want to do long term. And that's only because experience trumps theory when it comes to figuring out clarity around what you want to do in your career. So if something sounds great in theory, consider all of the uphill battles that you would need to overcome in order to get there. So becoming a doctor sounds amazing in theory. But when you look at things like the cost that it involves, the time that it involves, and the risk, because not everybody gets accepted into medical school, you might decide that it sounds great in theory, but it may not be the right fit for you, your interest, how you want to spend your life, etc. At the end of the day, we've looked at the three steps: reflect on your past experiences, identify your needs and wants, and then look at your natural interests, even if you haven't had an experience with them. You want to step back and take a big picture look at this, and then sort of summarize the highlights. So basically just write yourself a little job one sheet where it says, this is what I need out of a job. This is what I really enjoyed, and these are my patterns, because this is what we're looking for. We're looking for patterns as to what makes you you, what lights you up, and what you would enjoy doing long term. And this one sheet should basically help to funnel you into the positions that you're going for. Now, in a future episode, I'm also going to cover, you know, how to take that information and go online and basically sift out and connect that information to a specific position or a list of positions. And then from there, you're going to go and do some research one-on-one by having some informational conversations. Just remember that we're all habitual creatures. Even when you and I can't see a pattern, there's a pattern there. And the patterns are discoverable. So oftentimes when you're in it, you can't really see what your patterns are because you're busy looking outward. And that's just the reality. We all have blind spots. Like I have blind spots in so many things. And there's like this concept, it's called Johari's window. And I'd show it to you if it were in video, but we're in a podcast. But in Johari's window, it's like, imagine this window that's got the four squares, right? And in one square, it's everything that you know about yourself. So it's a part of you and you know it. Well, in another square is everything that is a part of you, but you don't know it. And it's true that oftentimes you don't know yourself as well as someone else may know you if they're around you all the time. And this is for different reasons. I'm not going to necessarily get into it here because we would be talking for a long time. But there's this window, in Johari's window, there's one block where you know about yourself. There's another block where there's things about you that you don't see, but a best friend, a relative will see. Then there's another box that are things about you that you know about yourself, but you do not share with that other person. And then there's one more box, and this is the box that that other person sees about you and actually tells you. Because when you're friends with somebody, they see some things in you, and they have grace for you, and they have grace for me, but they don't tell us everything because sometimes they're like, well, I don't really feel like you need my feedback, or I don't know if you'll take it well that, you know, I know this about you. Or maybe they just recognize that you have a talent or a quality, but they just haven't come around to telling you yet. It just hasn't come up in the conversation. So for multiple reasons, there's those four squares in Johari's window: what you know about yourself and you're sharing with others, what you know about yourself and you're not sharing with others, and what others know about you and they're sharing with you, and what others know about you and they're not sharing with you. So the more conversations you have with each other and you share information back and forth, it's kind of like you're sharing feedback. And when someone tells you something about yourself that you didn't already know, you might use that puzzle piece to uncover something else about you that you didn't previously know. And so then when you take that puzzle piece, you give it to them. So you see what I mean, right? Like, you start to put the puzzle together because they have a piece of it and you have a piece of it. So anyways, all of that to say that you and I are habitual creatures. The patterns are there and it's up to us to dig a little bit, have conversations, do these three steps and start to unearth those patterns. And then we take those patterns and apply it to all of the positions to find the positions that meet some of those patterns. And of course, that meet the needs that we have. Now, during this process, I really encourage you to ask God to bring you clarity and peace, to provide you with the path as you engage in all of these practical activities, because it's sort of like this blend, right, of I'm doing the practical work while I'm also seeking God and heeding the Holy Spirit. And so pray before and after you do these activities, because this is basically inviting the Holy Spirit to guide your process. I'm telling you, He cares about even the smallest parts of your life. And your career where, to be honest, you spend most of your waking hours. I mean, it's one of the most important ways that God can use you on this earth. And it's also where you can experience great joy and accomplishment and be wildly successful and well paid for it at the same time. So go through the process so that you can get paid to do work that you enjoy, that you succeed in, and that you were literally created for. That's all I've got for you today. I'm going to wrap it up here. But before I do, just know that if you want to schedule a consult to learn about professional coaching and find out how we'd work together to get you hired into that most fulfilling role and get paid top dollar for it, click on the link in the description and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. You came to the right place if you're seeking career direction, are ready to launch your career, if you're looking to change positions, or you want to secure the best offer for your next role. And I've created some resources just for you to help you along the way. First, hear His voice with the 5 steps to God's will for your career. Second, organize your career search. I've got a career transition checklist with 7 career phases and over 30 bite-sized strategies for you to check off along the way. Or grab the Bible-based mindset fix. It's a collection of scripture to help you apply truth to negative thoughts so that you can get unstuck and go after your position. Finally, if you have a question that hasn't been answered, then send it in. Email me your question and not only will I answer it, but I'll also give you a shout out on the episode as well. Again, thanks for listening and I'll see you on the next one.